mind comes with balance. So do some natural breathing meditation. 10 or 20 rounds of breathing. Harness the power of your concentration and uplift the quality of the mind. Then do kindly reflect on refuge. Those that have refuge, refresh your refuge commitment. Those that don't have refuge, contemplate how powerful your mind is, the single most powerful force on the planet, and can completely master evolution. Do kindly generate the altruistic resolve. And you can think about Mahasanaya Keshavada talking about bodhicitta, how many examples he gave from the great masters. That is the single most vital cause for enlightenment, bodhicitta. The mind that aspires for awakening for the benefit of all. So if it even helps to think about Geshe-la's pure qualities in your heart. Then feel some sincerity that you wish to be like that with all this generosity, morality, this patience, this incredible endurance, this concentration and wisdom which were all on display, all six perfections on display yesterday. Then we can go through the four thoughts for training the mind. alternating between periods of reflection, trying to recall the list and its meaning, perhaps commentary or sentiment, and then letting that sentiment emerge and concentrating your mind on that sentiment. So going between analysis and concentration. First thought is the preciousness of human life endowed with freedom and fortune. So here there are a list of 18 qualities or characteristics. And don't worry about all 18. Begin with the freedoms, all the things that you are free from that allow you to practice the Dharma. All the states of mind, possible conditions or circumstances that would prevent you from being here doing this right now. Just allow yourself to contemplate all the various possibilities and permutations, and then come to a genuine recognition that right now you are free from illnesses. You're free from all kinds of very severe mental conditions, extreme paranoias, delusions, extreme self-absorptions, anxieties, preoccupations, obsessions. And you may know people in those kinds of conditions, or you in the past may have been afflicted by those kinds of conditions, so you know. It's nearly impossible to practice Dharma when you're assailed like that. And those things can happen at any time. And the positive fortunes that we have. Having a healthy enough body, and having our senses intact, and having an inclination to want to study something spiritual, and then living in a country where we have enough freedom to pursue spirituality of our choice. Having qualified teachers, having access to the Dharma, because there are times where there's no access, there's no teachers, there's no freedom. Being surrounded by like-minded colleagues that can support our practice. Think about all the possible permutations of causes and conditions, and it is an absolute miracle. Absolute miracle. That you have all these freedoms and all these endowments in this life. It's like winning 1,000 lotteries all at once. Struck by lightning 1,000 times all at once. Nearly 8 billion people on this planet right now. Think how how many of them can do what you're doing right now. It's inconceivable. Sense of absolute gratitude, appreciation, and feel in your heart that you must practice Dharma. You are so fortunate. Second contemplation is on death and impermanence. So we found this great miracle. We are the recipient of this precious human embodiment. But literally, quite literally, we have maybe 80, 90 years, 100 maximum. How much of that time is spent sleeping? Half. How much of that time is spent working, another half of the half, and right down the line the pie gets cut up, taking care of family, taking care of our bodies, feeding ourselves. That's just a very, 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 very small sliver left. And within that sliver, time is passing so quickly. The window of opportunity, the sands in the hourglass, slipping away. And we're all inevitably heading towards a similar fate, each and every one of us, inescapable. Death is coming, death is certain. So just take a moment and breathe that in. That doesn't just happen to somebody else that we know. It happens to each of us. We will lose this precious human life. And all its liberties. Finally, when death comes, because it's certain, and even though the time of death is uncertain, there's only one thing that will really help. When we're in the death grip, or the death channel, or the death tunnel, and that will be our previous Dharma practice. friends and family can provide support, but it is our mind on its final leg of its journey, and our own realizations, our own experiences, that will make the difference between a very tumultuous, rocky, possibly terrifying exit or transition, and one that is, as Chokinima pointed out, one that could potentially be the most important moment of our lives. So do take a moment to reflect and generate a sense of an urgency that, given how precious our human life is and how quickly it can be taken away, that we have priorities. We must make priorities to practice now. Probably the most important of all the reflections is on causality. So broadly speaking, remember that nothing is random, there's no coincidences in our lives. The fact that this pilgrimage was planned 2 years ago to coincide with a book launch at the nunnery at the very same time 700 nuns for the first time in history gathered with our spiritual teacher was no coincidence. The fact that you're on this trip is not a coincidence. The people that you're with is not a random collection of people. We have been doing this for countless lives together. We have already been to the Asura Caves. We have already put our hands together and made a pledge to do it again and again and again until samsara was eliminated. So just think every single moment, body, speech, and mind, our intentions, our creating, our experience. We are birthing our experience every single moment. If we're sleepwalking and assailed by afflictions, we create the problems of our life. If we're awake and motivated by bodhicitta, and at the very least renunciation, then we can create an extremely virtuous experience. Those moments you have on this pilgrimage where you just cannot believe inconceivable joy of being alive is the direct result of your bodhicitta. It's not random. Thank you. this reflection should generate a strong sense of agency. This is, you're in control. You get to drive your ship. You are responsible. You have so much power and so much responsibility. But you're also well trained. Society is set up. This is the end game. That's all there is to this game. And then the minute the wrinkles come in, a few extra pounds come in, the stock market crashes, somebody blames you, somebody doesn't like what you've done, suddenly the infrastructure of your entire reality shakes. So much pain, so much fear. It has never paid off the way that the marketing schemes have promised. So in your heart, see if you could generate a firm conviction, not based on faith, but based on reason, that living blindly at the whims of the waves and currents of samsara and worldly winds it's not only meaningless, it's so unpleasant. Tossed about. So much fear. Generate now, see if you can generate now the strong resolve to renounce that way of life, to end that way of life by pointing your orientation towards a truly spiritual life, one that is not just interested in now, but in the future, one that is not just interested in yourself, but all of you being. One not just interested in temporary happiness, but the happiness of liberation. Breathe. use the power of your concentration to press into your soul your aspiration, to like thumb in wet clay, your aspiration for this life. Also by aspiring not to be separated internally from the qualities that they instill inside you, the good feelings they instill inside you, the motivation and the inspiration that they instill inside you, that you will always remain tethered to that good feeling inside of us, uplifts us, keeps us honest, keeps us correct, reminds us so much.